Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. You can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The resources we speak about on the broadcast you can find on the web at equip.org. Another quick reminder, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Kane in Keller, Texas. Kane is listening on the web. Hi, Kane.
Hey, Hank. So I had two really quick questions.
Uh-huh.
The first is why there's many other verses besides John chapter 5, verse 4, but many verses are they're not in the text, or they're labeled in footnotes in the newer international Bibles or standard English American Bibles. And I was wondering why they made these changes, all these different verses.
Yeah, you have a good example in mind?
So, John chapter 5, verse 4.
Okay. Yeah. And it's not just John chapter 5, verse 4, but it also was part of John chapter 5, verse 3, as I recall. And I'm looking this up in the Bible, and in the New King James Version, it makes an indication of exactly what I just said. There's a textual note there that says that part of verse 3 and all of verse 4 are omitted. So for everybody listening in, the text says, after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, the pool having five porches. In these lay a multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, and they're all waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of certain disease. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. Now what's missing, and then Jesus of course goes on, sees him and heals him, but what's missing here is just the color commentary, which starts with the fact of the moving of the waters, the angel going down at a certain time into the pool, stirring up the water, and whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, the reason that is notated in most modern Bibles is due to what's called the science of textual criticism. The science of textual criticism takes into account all of the manuscript evidence that we have. And by comparing manuscript with manuscript, you get back to the autographa. You get back to the original writings. And this indicates that this is what's called a gloss. It is a scribal edition that has found its way into the text. So again, the science of textual criticism has ferreted that out. But it turns out that the details with respect to this account, the details that are included in verse 3 and all of verse 4 are actually part of the historical record, which is to say that it fits well with oral tradition from that event to the time of the writing. So though it is not part of the autographa, it does correctly communicate what was going on from a historical perspective.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. And there's something else I want to say about that, and that is that there's so much else going on in this particular passage, so I'm glad it was brought up. When John says, "And now in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades," the critics immediately say this is a forgery. In fact, there was a modernist French critic who set the standard in dismissing the five covered colonnades. He said this is a literary myth, and it's designed to correspond with the five books of the law fulfilled by Jesus, but it has no basis whatsoever in actual architectural reality. But then, of course, the problem comes that there is an archaeologist with a spade, and that spade began excavations of the Pool of Bethesda. And this happened back in 1956 and reveals that what John describes is precisely correct in terms of the details and descriptions. And there was an Israeli archaeologist, Shimon Gibson, and he had been investigating the archaeological remains at Bethesda from this point onward, and he found out through his archaeological digs that the pool is precisely in concert with the story itself. And the first thing he discovered is that the pool had a twin basin, which of course explains why there were five porticos, and they were columned. One portico on each of the four sides and one additional portico on the barrier wall in the middle, separating the two bases. Then second, the lame man was waiting for someone to take his bed down to the water of the pool, which suggests that one of the basins must have had broad steps with landings at intervals. Otherwise, invalids would have had difficulty gaining access. And the third thing that he discovered was that the man wanted to be put in the pool so that he could benefit from the waters that on occasion became stirred up, just as you find out in this gloss. Because this is an indication that some curative value was placed at the time of this phenomenon. And by the way, what's interesting about this from a historical standpoint is that this portico and this pool was about 100 yards north of the temple gate, was near the Sheep's Gate. And the waters were special in that they, in a way, indirectly participated in the animal sacrifices of the temple. The animals were washed in that same water. And so the grace came from the water to the invalids that went into the pool. That's sort of the backstory. And of course, as I just said, archaeological discoveries have proved a devastating blow to skeptics. And this is in many, many different ways. It is so cool when you look at this pool as well as the Pool of Siloam. That was the pool in which the blind man washed and came back seeing. So you can go back to the pools of John. You can look at the details that he discusses in his accounts, and you can walk away absolutely mesmerized by the fact that what is sealed in soil and then later dug up by the archaeologist coheres with what is sealed in Scripture. And it gives one more proof against the skeptics that the Bible is utterly trustworthy. So when the archaeologists come along, in so many cases, they dismiss the doubters. Why? Because they find the actual evidence that coheres with the biblical text. It's beautiful the more you get into it, and it's one of the reasons that I have been so excited about Fragments of Truth. Can we trust the Bible? Because in this incredible movie on DVD, available for those who support the ministry, you can get all the color commentary that I've been talking about and able to talk about, quite frankly, because I watched the movie. Of course, I've been talking about this for years. I wrote about it as well in my book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. That book also available for those who support the ministry. If you've never read that book, it will fortify your faith. Check it all out on the web at equip.org. And remember the number to dial to get your question answered live, 888-ASK-HANK.
How good are the manuscripts on which the New Testament is based? Some skeptics of the Bible claim that the text has been deliberately changed. Dr. Craig Evans set out to investigate the actual texts that have survived from antiquity and interviewed experts who know best in the eye-opening new film, Fragments of Truth. To receive the DVD, Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want, their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell. Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine. The indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick. Why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Truth matters, life matters more, details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org. Can we trust the Bible? The Christian faith is firmly rooted in the teachings of the New Testament, but can we really trust the Bible? Skeptics will tell you that the authenticity of the Bible cannot be trusted, arguing that the gospel manuscripts have been doctored to push a theological agenda. In the New Faith Life original film, Fragments of Truth, Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on, traveling around the world to investigate the most ancient New Testament manuscripts available. Along the way, Dr. Evans highlights groundbreaking new evidence, demonstrating that the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it is stronger than ever. To receive your DVD of Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go back to our phone callers. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Next up, Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, Hank, in the Old Testament Israel, obviously the penalty for stealing was restitution, sometimes twofold or fourfold or even fivefold restitution. Obviously, the penalty for murder was death. The penalty for adultery, was it always death in the Old Testament?
Well, it certainly was according to Mosaic law. But one of the things that's important for us to remember in the modern ethic is that Mosaic law is time-bound. It's not timeless. And the reason for that is that Mosaic law is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So the Mosaic law has long since been abrogated. It was, in effect, when God was ruling directly over a people, and therefore the kinds of laws that were inherent in the Old Testament civil and ceremonial laws do not apply to us today.
Right. Now, what was the, I can't remember, what was the penalty for lying, false testimony or lying? Do you recall in Old Testament Israel?
Well, yeah, there were all kinds. I mean, the first thing to recognize about the Mosaic law is it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of matrix, that it's multifaceted. So you have so many different Mosaic laws, and they're applied based on the circumstances that are brought into the scope of that Mosaic law. So it's very, very difficult for us to ferret that out in terms of a soundbite, very much like it would be very difficult for me to take a religious liberty issue and explain to you exactly how the justices of the Supreme Court are going to rule on the nuances of the Constitution with respect to those individual cases. And I think the same thing would apply to the Mosaic law. And I'm saying that within a context. I was in Iran speaking at the University of Tehran with two rabbis, one Rabbi Rosenberg and the other Rabbi Weiss. It's amazing that still sticks in my memory from 2012. But anyway, and they were adhering to this complex mosaic of laws that made my head spin just in terms of dietary laws. I couldn't keep it all straight, much less can I keep straight all of the details of the Mosaic law with respect to how they apply to the Ten Commandments.
Right. Very quickly, Hank, your health is still A1?
My health is A1.
Perfect. One more very quick thing. Have you ever heard of laser therapy, Hank, for arthritis? On a final note here, laser therapy for arthritis?
No, but I've been trying to find. I have an attendant problem in my feet as a result of the chemotherapy and the radiation, which is called neuropathy.
Peripheral. I'm looking into that right now, and maybe that's a little bit of a word of knowledge for you and for me. Look into that, maybe for many other people listening as well. Something I've heard of recently, laser therapy. It's supposed to be very effective for many people. God bless, brother.
Thank you. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, laser therapy.
Thank you. You know, in light of all these questions, I think it's so important to talk about whether the Bible is a legitimate authority. You know, of course, Muslims point to the Quran as the real authority. From their perspective, God spoke through the Archangel Gabriel, who dictated the Quran to Muhammad over a period of 23 years. And the miracle, according to Islam, is that not even one letter has been changed over the centuries. And Mormons do much the same thing. They say that their book, the Book of Mormon, is the most correct of any book on earth. Joseph Fielding Smith, of course, the sixth president of the Mormon Church, mirrors the Muslims in asserting that every letter was given to Joseph Smith by the gift and the power of God. The question now becomes, are the Quran or the Book of Mormon really reliable authorities? And the answer is no. And there's all kinds of reasons for saying that. The Quran is hopelessly flawed, not only with respect to ethics, but also with respect to errors. And the same thing can be said with respect to the Book of Mormon. Mormons claim that Joseph Smith found golden plates containing the fullness of the everlasting gospel written in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. But if you look at the facts say otherwise. Not only is there no archaeological support for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics, but there's no archaeological support for lands such as the land of Moron. And there's no archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, the Nephites, and the Lamanites migrated from Israel to the Americas, as depicted in the Book of Mormon. And yet, despite the deficiencies of their own texts, the Muslims and the Mormons brashly denigrate the Bible as a crooked stick which cannot be trusted. And they're not alone. There are critics like Bart Ehrman. He's the professor of religious studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who says the Bible is a very dishonest book, littered with deceptions, with errors, with outright lies. And then you have Bill Maher, who's equally dismissive. He characterizes Christians who hold to the authority of the Bible as obscurantists who, for all intents and purposes, have lost their brains somewhere in the narthex of a church. And so through media, through manuscripts, through movies, and now most notably through the internet, a procession of these pundits and professors and public personalities are raising doubts in the minds of multiplied millions of people regarding the Bible as a reliable authority for faith and practice. So the question becomes, is the Bible a legitimate authority? Is it indeed trustworthy or not? Well, during the broadcast, I've already given you some evidence for the reliability of the Bible. Let me give you four more quick points. I remember these points because they cohere with an acronym, which I have in my book, Has God Spoken? The first point is that the sheer volume of manuscripts that undergird sacred scripture dwarf that of any other work of classical history. And equally amazing is the fact that the Bible has been virtually unaltered since the original writers, and that, of course, is attested by scholars who have compared the earliest extant manuscripts with manuscripts dated centuries later. The second point is that, unlike the Book of Mormon, the Bible is buttressed by history and evidence. While the archaeologist Spade continues to mount up evidence against the Book of Mormon, it has piled up proof upon proof for the trustworthiness of the biblical manuscripts. The third point is that prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy are powerful proofs for biblical authority. You know, Jesus said, I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. And then a final point, which is that the Bible contains myriad books written by many authors, written in multiple languages, written over more than a millennium on a multitude of different subjects, and yet it remains unified and consistent throughout. How's that possible? The individual writers had no idea that their message would eventually be assembled into one book, and yet each work fits perfectly with a unique purpose as a synergistic component of the whole. So the synergistic harmony of the Bible alongside manuscript evidence, archaeological proof, and prophetic prowess provides powerful proof of the Bible's authority and its complete trustworthiness. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I want to thank everybody that stands shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. Remember, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the show.
Skeptics such as Bart Ehrman claim that the New Testament manuscripts were modified to misrepresent the meaning of the message of our Messiah. Dr. Craig Evans takes this claim head-on in his new film, Fragments of Truth, traveling the globe to track down the most ancient New Testament manuscripts. Spoiler alert, the case for the reliability of the New Testament manuscripts is not just strong, it's stronger than ever. To receive the DVD, Fragments of Truth, Ancient Documents, New Discoveries for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Because questions remain about the earliest moments of the universe, scientists offer speculative alternatives to our universe having an actual beginning. Nevertheless, the science that is known to be true provides abundant evidence that the universe came into being a finite time ago, just as the Bible teaches. Other topics include how Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers, Christian apologetics in a nutshell, John Chrysostom, the Golden Mouth Preacher, Christian imagination and the problem of horrendous evil, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.